back to normal.
Good God.
That was awesome.
Do I look like I'm going to faint?
You were totally bright red face.
Especially
when she asked if you were autistic.
Okay, yeah, that, by the way, you missed. Okay, let's return to the recurring theme on this show of best moments happen right after the mic goes off. I swear to Christ, and you know I would not make this up. We end the interview. We turn up the microphones, and the guy who was with her, kind of, I guess, he's
Rob?
Like the NutriSystem.
He's either their rep or her manager.
Her handler, whatever. Anyway,
so.
the guy.
He's really nice.
The guy who was like her handler, who's, you know, he's cool. He goes, oh, hey, you're really funny. You know, it's amazing. Well, he asked me, he said, do you really know all that stuff about family ties, or did you research it? And I just said, you know, because I don't want to toot my own horn. I'm like Sarah, and Sarah's like, oh, he knows it. And so Tina Yothers looked at me, and she goes, so, I mean, are you autistic? And, like, totally not kidding. Like, that
was... And then she's like, well, no, because you can tell...
No offense.
Yeah, because your face turned bright red, and she's like,
she just asked me if I was autistic.
Maybe she meant artistic.
Maybe.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Did they give me a different microphone?
Yes, they did.
The microphone
like a
actually...
child's toy.
No, the...
it doesn't look like anything real.
It's not a real man's microphone.
Is he potted up? I mean, is it fixed?
Well, yeah, Sean came in and fooled around with it for a little bit. All right. Said it's a little bit better, but not...
It seems to be smaller than anyone else's.
Well... Oh, man, that's a little miniature microphone.
You got like children.
You have a Fisher-Price baby's first mic. That's totally what you've got up there. Your microphone is smaller than all the...
Maybe it belongs to a... To Miss Yothers' child. Scotty was doing celebrity babysitting out there.
I feel so bad for your voice. I have some ginger, I think, if you want it. Too late now. No. I'm telling you, and I know that when you start to lose your voice, that what sucks the most is that everybody around you is like, I have this home remedy. Everybody's got their own stupid home remedy.
Yeah.
I will say, and I've talked about this before, the one time I lost, because I always lose my voice at the listener parties. And I actually convened a bunch of our listeners who were in bands, like Porn Star Janitor John, Nate from the Altar Boys, Paul from the Dry County Crooks. And I said, I got them in a circle, and I'm like, you guys are in bands. What do I do with my voice? And they all said ginger, or some variation of a ginger product. So you just let me know. I just, it's Tim Riley. We'll try to do most of the work by repeatedly reminding people that Tina Yothers thinks I'm autistic. We'll just fill time with that observation.
That's okay. I have a child-sized microphone here.
It's teeny. It's tiny. It's altogether wacky. Let's just for a minute.
Smooth Mr. Lover voice.
Well, first of all, can I just say this, that I was, especially by the fact that she's gorgeous. I mean,
she's really pretty.
Really, really, really pretty.
I can't believe that turned out so well. Not only was she really pretty, she was, like, whip smart.
Totally.
She was so funny and sarcastic.
And it seemed adjusted. She doesn't seem crazy.
No, not at all.
I mean, because, you know, and it's not that Tina Yothers is crazy. It's such as that being a child star makes people crazy, typically.
Well, I think I saw a little bit of something when you mentioned her co-star.
Mark Price?
The hot girl.
Justine Bateman. Oh, yeah. Well, because Justine
hot
one.
I saw this little spark, and she's like, oh, yeah.
Because
we were great friends.
Well, because Justine was the ginger, and...
Whatever happened to her?
She is totally out of the limelight. She makes handbags. That's all she does. She is the only... That's why it was such a big deal that Justine Bateman was on Arrested Development time, because she doesn't do anything. Justine Bateman... I like your Justine Development. Justine Bateman totally withdrew from the limelight. Which is kind of cool in a way, because she sort of walked the talk, where she's just like, I'm sick of Hollywood, not going to act, and then she totally did it. But Jennifer Keaton was totally marketed as first a tomboy, and then she went straight from tomboy to the really smart one. And she was never the hot one, except in, like, three episodes where she was, like, in a band. They never marketed her as the hot one ever. But, of course, like all situations like that, in a weird way, there's a whole bunch of guys who think that she's hotter than the so-called hot sister. And there's anything wrong with Justine Bateman. But, like, every guy I know, and maybe it's a geek thing, every guy I know loves Marianne more than Ginger, period. And so it is. I know a lot of guys. I mean, how many guys you sit around pining about Justine Bateman? Not that many. I know a lot of guys who've got a weird thing for Tina Yothers. I really do. Or Yothers, as she was saying. She kind of lined her for us. She was calling it Yothers. She was really impressed that the listener brought in that 12-inch record, though. That Tina Yothers. I think Scotty's going to rip the audio. We're going to be able to play Baby, I'm Back in Love.
Yeah.
So I like that.
But, yeah. So
we have to have Tim intro it, though.
Baby, ladies, I'm back in love.
Tina Yothers. Sex machine. Yeah, but so we went to break, and she said, are you autistic? So there you go. Best moment ever. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, a Roman Catholic priest who's accused of molesting young Mark Foley about 40 years ago said he didn't do it.
It was a sexy molestation.
Speaking by telephone, the Reverend Anthony Massisa said he massaged the nude altar boy, but that's as far as he went.
Massage the nude altar boy.
Is that like cursing Aunt Jemima? I gotta go home and massage the nude altar boy. Wait, hold on. Massaging the nude altar boy. Massaging.
Come here, you nude altar boy.
I love this show. Massaging the nude altar. Attention, Nate. Massaging the nude altar boy. All right, there you go. Is this audio? Am I playing this audio?
Yes, you are.
All right, here we go.
As you always
once
do.
Once, and maybe I touched him or so, you know. It's not something you call, I mean,
great
for penetration or anything.
Whoa!
I don't want to hear
that.
No, he's from the island of Gobo.
We have the woman underwater from yesterday.
Yeah, that's, let me play this again. All I know is that it sounds like he's being shocked with something, and then he says penetration.
Once, and maybe I touched him or so, you know. It's not something you call, I mean, hooray for penetration or anything.
I can't understand.
Hooray for penetration?
Hooray for hooray for penetration. The phrases just keep on coming. Hold on. Hooray for penetration.
Play it again and tell me, does it not sound like he's saying that?
Okay, well, it does now, of course. Hold on. Hooray for penetration. Massaging the nude altar boy. The Tim Riley story. All right.
Once, and maybe I touched him or so, you know. It's not something you call, I mean, hooray for penetration or anything like that.
Oh, it's genius. Oh, that's one more
once,
time.
And maybe I touched him or so, you know. It's not something you call, I mean, pray for penetration or anything like that.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's great. That's just great. You know, the Lord give and the Lord just keep on giveth. All right. Rick, please to ask Teeny Others about her run-ins with Courtney Love. Really? Yeah, too late now.
Yeah.
All right, well, what are you going to do? All right, here's Tim Riley.
Here's Tim Riley.
Well, the second-ranking Republican in the House of Representatives has testified before the House Ethics Committee about the sex scandal. Afterward, John Boehner said, voters don't care.
Penetration.
Voters don't care about this scandal.
I think most Americans care about how much they're paying in taxes, what we've done on border security, and most importantly, what we're doing to make sure that our country is safe from attack from terrorists.
Okay. I'm sorry, I'm still back in the hooray for penetration. And I'm trying to send this photo of us with Teeny Others. Should I send this to your...
You just send it to my Gmail.
All right. And ladies and gentlemen, here's Tim Riley.
Well, Tony Snow made the suggestion today that Americans really don't care that much about Iraq. He said Democrats are against everything that could win that war.
The idea of trying to pick out Iraq and say, we're going to leave there, but we're going to win the war on terror. We're going to strategically withdraw, but we're going to win. We are against a terror surveillance program, but we're going to win. We are opposed to the Detention Act, the military commissions, but we're going to win.
All right, there's Tony Snow.
The president vows to stay and win.
For the sake of the security of the United States of America, we must defeat the enemy in Iraq. For the sake of world peace, for the sake of peace for our children, we must not let the extremists have their way in this vital front in the war on terror.
You know, the creepy thing about George...
Nobody has established what will be won here.
I, at this point, it's a small pile of stones. It's a box full of rubble. That's what we're going to be winning. The creepy thing about George W. Bush is with all of these sound bites, he...
Yes?
Heating up. I'm sorry. I just didn't know what that sound was.
But that was just me.
Okay. And I'm with all of these... I'm not laughing at your pain. With these sound bites...
I'm playing through the pain.
With these sound bites, you hear them now, and it's very much as though George Bush... like, when I hear these, with every passing day, he sounds more and more as though his visage is just being projected up on some giant screen looming above the city square. And the assembled masses are all down to, like, we're all in the middle of the street looking up as his... As
godlessness.
Exactly. England prevails.
For the sake of the security of the United States of America, we must defeat the enemy in Iraq. For the sake of world peace... For the sake of peace for our children, we must not let the extremists have their way in this vital front in the war on terror.
I'm not even clear that we've established...
What are you talking about?
I don't know.
The war on terror and the fact that we're going to win.
But I... You know what you sound like? You sound like that guy that...
He sounds like an undercover detective from, like, the 1940s.
Totally. She walked into the office bouncing like Jell-O on springs. I just poured myself a glass of breakfast.
And told that tomato to pour me a Manhattan and light me a cigar.
Okay. We have to have him cut some liners today.
Everybody now, please now to be writing hard-boiled detective verbiage for Tim Riley to read today.
Well, and unfortunately, there's no love songs format around here at present time.
His voice sounds exactly how he did on, on
Hold
Slow
me,
Rock.
Thrill me, never let me go. Oh, yeah, the news, the air checks?
Yes.
You're right. Let's prove that right now.
Oh, no.
No, please, okay, first of all, please now to be writing hard-boiled detective dialogue for Tim Riley to write. Nate, I'm looking in your direction. Send that now to Rick.
He's
Rick
on
Emerson.
The road.
They walk down the dark alley.
All right. Awesome. If you have some noir dialogue to write for Tim Riley, please just send that now. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome out of the Rick Emerson Show, Bob Costantini, who's going to be joining us now from the Hill. Bob Costantini, hello. How are you, sir?
Oh, hello.
That was an interesting little titter. Bob, how's your day going? Hello?
I love the music coming in. Am I there?
Yes, you are, Bob. How are you today?
Silence, of course, is deadly, as you know, in this business.
No, it's okay, Bob. We find that it establishes intimacy.
We just interviewed Tina Yothers.
We just interviewed Family Ties star Tina Yothers. So now we were all a little giddy today, Bob.
I'm sure that was interesting.
It was. It was really good.
I'm ready with many subjects, whatever your heart desires, I think.
And that's why we love you, Bob, because you come prepared with many things for any possibility and eventuality.
I'm here.
Okay. Well, let's talk about our good friend Kim Jong-il. Is there any truth to this story? And I read this, it was off Drudge, so you never really know. But there was a story on Drudge that, I swear to God, this is what it said. Kim Jong-il says, quote, he's sorry about setting off a nuclear weapon. Now, that seems a little weird and also made up. What is that true? Do we know anything about that?
Well, that was according to a South Korean news agency, which not only said that Kim Jong-il had expressed to a Chinese diplomat that his country was not going to engage in any other nuclear tests. It also indicated that he was sorry for having the initial test that occurred on October 9th, the one that caused this latest crisis. Now, by the end of the day, there's conflicting information about how sorry North Korea is regarding that test. And if you guys want to enjoy this, let me read to you the official statement from the North Korean state-run news agency. This is just one sentence, and
okay.
It talks about the historic success of the test. And this is why it's generally believed that maybe they aren't really that sorry. It says, Cho Tae-bak, alternative member of the Political Bureau and Secretary of the Central Committee of the Workers' Party of Korea, speaking on behalf of the WPK, hailed the successful nuclear test, reflecting the unanimous feelings of all the party members and other working people of the country, and warmly congratulated scientists, technicians, and workers on having successfully ensured the nuclear test with ardent patriotism and loyalty.
Well, that doesn't sound creepy and wooden at all.
That is, yes, that is one sentence in that statement, and it would indicate that they aren't necessarily sorry at this point.
Why would they be? Because it seems like, A, to be sorry, you'd have to not be evil and not be crazy. And he does seem demonstrably to be crazy and probably evil as well to some degree.
Well, look at it this way from his point of view. If he has told the Chinese that he's not going to engage in any other nuclear tests, and that he's willing to re-enter into the six-party talks, which is another thing that's being reported today, well, you know, it will probably get the Chinese to back off on a lot of the pressure that Beijing may be putting on North Korea regarding these tests.
And
we all know that the Chinese haven't been exactly on board heavily with the sanctions that the United Nations is trying to impose, or the Security Council.
Yeah, the thing is, and as regards North Korea, one of the things that I've said a few times now, and that really, I don't know, that I'm not really sure that there is an answer to it, but what I am constantly wondering is, A, If we just impose sanctions and they just don't have the desired effect, if they just don't do anything, it does seem like we are really left then with only one other option on the table, and that option is just to go in there, you know, and just clean house militarily. Then I don't have any choice, right? I mean, it's like if you tell your kid I'm going to send you to bed without dinner if you don't clean the yard, and you send him to bed without dinner, the next day he doesn't clean the yard. I mean, you can only take so many things away before you got to get out a yardstick. You know what I mean?
Well, Rick, the United States insists that it is not really heavily contemplating any military options in this situation. And as we know, with the status of Iraq at this point and how our U.S. forces are being spread thin, if you will, that doesn't seem very likely anyway, no matter what the U.S. might want to do. And then let's be real. If he does have the capability of setting off a nuclear explosion, then Kim Jong-il does have the capability of perhaps setting off a nuclear explosion in a military sense.
That's true.
So, and it could be, you know, very dangerous. And obviously the folks in South Korea don't want the prospect of, any kind of military confrontation with the North because they're right there.
Out of curiosity, you said you would come prepared with many topics today. Would you care to list the other topics that you brought with us, perhaps?
General John Abizade, the head of the U.S. Central Command, is meeting with the president right now over the Iraq situation, and his being called to Washington had put up a lot of speculation in the media in particular, of course, that there was going to be a sudden change in strategy, a change in tactics, that kind of thing. And the president is also supposed to be having meetings with via video conference with the military commanders in Iraq over the entire weekend. So that has fueled some speculation, but the White House is seriously downplaying this as just a normal meeting, a pre-scheduled kind of thing, an assessment of what the situation is in Iraq. And, of course, as we all know, the situation this month in particular has been extremely deadly for U.S. forces.
All right, then. Oh, and by the way, now, of course, you are undoubtedly privy to the information that CNN radio correspondent Gary Baumgarten is going to be leaving this fine news-gathering organization. That next Thursday is Gary's...
I know that.
Gary, that is next Thursday, Gary's last day. Now, are we allowed to ask, is Bob Costantini, does he have his eye on the Manhattan Prize?
Bob is safely ensconced in Washington, and grew up in Baltimore, and actually lived there.
I didn't think people wanted to live in Baltimore anymore. I thought Baltimore, crab cakes aside, was a place that people were trying to get tickets out of.
Lately, things have been improving considerably.
Wow.
In terms of living in town there, and it's my hometown. I was born and raised there. Obviously, just like John McCain, I will never say never when pressed about these kinds of things.
Thank you. Ringing endorsement. All right. Bob Costantini, thank you, my friend. It's always a pleasure. We'll talk to you soon, Bob.
See you next week.
Thank you. There you go. CNN radio correspondent Bob Costantini. Just a firework, as always. But, the thing is, though, today he was so dry that it actually sort of...
I think it worked.
It did. I think he sort of did a slingshot around the sun and became funny just by...
I have many subjects to talk about.
Rick, I am prepared with many topics to discuss. All right, is that the picture of us?
Yes, but I need to do
fine.
Some work with it. No.
You look fine. Then, more importantly, I look okay.
Though. I know. You like it because you look good.
I never look good.
Cut me out and have it you and Tina.
Yeah. I never look... We took a look at the photo myself and Sarah and Tina Yolders. I never look good in photographs. That is like the first photograph ever. Now, I've got another one. Would you want me to send you the other one?
Yeah.
I've got one other shot of us. Because I never photograph well. And you know this. You constantly photograph well. You photograph better than like anybody I've ever met. And that's just a fact.
All right.
All right, hold on. Let me find the... I wonder which one I sent you. Hold on, leave that one up on the screen so that I can...
I just popped it already.
I want to make sure that I don't send you the one that I've already sent you. What is the name of that Tina Yothers picture? What is the name of the file? Because that way I'll make sure I don't send you the same one.
64.
Okay, I'll send you 63.
Okay.
I don't think I look as good in 63, but, you may think you look better. Hold on. Let me just send this to you. Now, I know this is gripping radio. I'm sending Sarah a photo of us with Tina Yothers. All right, I'm sending this right now. In just a moment, we'll be rejoined by Tim Riley. People are now sending bits of noir dialogue for Tim Riley to be reading to us on the program. All right, there you go. I've sent it. Ah, there you go. Fantastic. All right. Let me read a few of these. Let's see. Rick, it just occurred to me what Tim sounds like today and perhaps every day. With his low voice, he sounds exactly like Rod Serling. I demand that Tim read the intro to The Twilight Zone. Thank you, Dave.
Oh, yeah.
All right. I used to be, let's see if I can, I might have to look it up online. I used to know The Twilight Zone opening by heart because I'm autistic. We'll see if I can track it down. What else do we have here? We have this, Rick. About being autistic. It's no Tina Yothers asking you if you have autism, but when I worked at Goodwill in college, somebody asked me seriously if you have to be retarded to work there. It was not a good day. Fantastic. Let's see. Pleased to be posting your photo of Tina Yothers. Yeah, all right, we'll get that. And she was there with she was talking to Christian from accounting this morning. I guess she was over on K2 today. All right, here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Well, according to the British press, it says we've lost the battle for Baghdad, and that's an admission of the U.S. A day after the president conceded for the first time that America may have reached the equivalent of the Tet Offensive in Iraq, the Pentagon yesterday admitted defeat in its strategy in securing Baghdad. The admission by the president that the U.S. may have arrived at a turning point in the war comes during one of the deadliest months for U.S. forces. Yesterday, the number of U.S. troops killed since October 1st rose to 73.
Kiff, this is going to be one very sexy struggle for the future of all humanity.
Meanwhile, Barack Obama was on Larry King last night.
From the Barack home world.
Mm-hmm. And he said whatever he does, he won't keep it a secret.
If I ever decide to run for president, I'll hold a press conference and I'll announce I'm running for president. Until then, this is mostly just chatter.
He really is sort of like a black John Edwards, you know what I mean?
Yes.
In the sense that there is just a golden glow around that guy. I don't know what it is. I'm not going to be one of those guys. I'm not going to pretend that I know all about Barack Obama. I don't want to be like one of those guys who, when we went to invade Afghanistan, suddenly every guy you talked to claimed to be an expert. Like, he read half a Tom Clancy novel about Afghanistan and was able to speak. Well, you know that's a winter that swallows troops over in Afghanistan. I don't know that much about Barack Obama, just like I don't know that much about John Edwards. All I know is that they will probably both be president at some point. Maybe not in 2008, but like I saw John Edwards just the age. John Edwards, he was on the TV the other day. It was his wife. And you know what? I'm sorry, that guy will be president. Maybe not in 2008, maybe not until 2012. He will be president at some point. Ditto Barack Obama, unless they find a bunch of dead cheerleaders in his basement, which I guess is always possible. Unless they find him massaging the nude altar boy somewhere, he will be elected. It's going to happen. Is this my Nutrisystem bar? Is this? Ooh, this is a different one.
Look what Tina Yothers left.
What is it? Oh, is it a whole box?
She left all of them.
Oh, fantastic.
And all their minty, chocolatey goodness.
All right,
that sounds yummy.
All right.
It actually, not blowing smoke, these taste really good.
13 grams of protein. Well, you know, because...
130 calories.
Did Scotty, the celebrity babysitter, get one?
Now, Scotty, were you...
he was out there with the baby?
Scotty, were you babysitting Tina Yothers' child?
Well, I think she asked, was there any place with the baby? Of course, we don't have, like, the baby crying room here because we have very few younger offspring. So Scotty, out of the goodness of his heart, volunteered to be the babysitter for Tina Yothers' baby.
Oh, that's adorable. And Tina Yothers' husband.
Sweet.
It's got to be weird to be Tina...
Did you see how hot he was?
Tina Yothers' husband?
My God. That is one good-looking man.
He didn't seem all that hot to me.
No, he was really attractive.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Hmm.
That's actually what I said. Sometimes I can't stop
myself.
You're
the hottest guy ever.
No, I just looked at him like, wow, you're really good-looking. How are you?
See, I can't say
I'm
that.
Probably not supposed to. I need to use my filter.
I mean, I guess I did say that to Tina Yothers. I guess it's a fair point. I guess when she sat down, that was... And you'll note, by the way, because I was talking to somebody who shall remain nameless. I was talking to somebody yesterday about my interviewing skills. Because I am, as I told Tina Yothers, and that's why I wanted to get it out on the table right at the very beginning, that I'm not a very good interviewer. I'm just not. I spent so many years doing the kind of radio show, sort of like Likas does, where it's just I'm just sitting in a room talking to myself, and then we do this show here, but it's not like a traditional interview show. So like when it has, and we don't do a lot of celebrity interviews or anything like that. So I just don't. It's not a skill that I've ever honed. And plus, the other reason that I'm typically a bad interviewer is because really I don't typically care what most people think. You know what I mean? Like you get some guy like I could never do what Jay Leno does. Where some guy comes on to pitch his latest product, and you're sitting
there going... Well, you just introduce him, and then you just kind of let them spit it all out because it's all rehearsed anyway.
Yeah, and because...
You can't get a word in edgewise.
Totally, especially on a show like that because they've already done the pre-interview.
Right.
They've already gone backstage with the production assistant. They've answered a billion questions and so forth.
And they know the cold cuts in the green room.
Yeah, that's what it is. They're back there on their BlackBerry firing their agent and trying to pick up on the musical guest, and that's it. And so... I've done those interviews in the past where somebody comes in because they got some project to pimp, and it's somebody you're supposed to care about. And I sit there and go, well, that's really fascinating. I understand that you've got a line of shoes coming out. What's that about? You know, and I realized within myself some time ago that I don't care. I just don't care. And so I never bothered to hone my interview skills. So she came in, and then we were having the technical problems with the microphone. And, Tim's got a little gravelly voice going on. It was kind of an uneven first hour.
Wow, she wore my headphones.
Tina Yothers touched your... Those headphones have touched the ears of Tina Yothers.
Yikes.
And then... No, it's a good thing.
No, I
she has ear fungus.
No, I said it in the most positive tone I could.
I hope she doesn't get sick from having from using that microphone now.
As a matter of fact, I did not use this before she did.
Oh, okay. All right. But then she came in and she sat down, and she was very, very beautiful. And I think I did actually say that.
It was after you showed me that, horrific picture. Well, not horrific. It's like 80s horrific.
Very
80s. She doesn't look bad, but it's
she didn't look anything like she does in the 80s.
She had
a nose job done?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yes.
Which doesn't matter to me.
No, you can tell.
Well, she has plenty of time for those.
No, it's a really good one, too.
She has lots of free openings
in
her schedule.
It was one of those good ones where you can't tell. Like, she has a perfectly shaped nose now, but then even looking at that picture.
Are we really going to have this discussion? Because I was wondering about the
chubbies?
No, let's not call them that. That sounds like something else. That sounds like you're massaging the nude altar boy. I was wondering about her...
The twin gals.
Her womanly curves.
She was voluptuous.
But now...
Do you think naturally?
I don't know.
We should go back and watch Celebrity Fit Club 4 and see if they look all...
Well, because I know
they make them run.
Because now you can get the breast enlargement, but sometimes you can get just the lift. Which is sort of what's just like a tightening, right?
Was she big-breasted when she was a child? Or not a child, when she was a little child?
When she was four. Yes, Sarah. I'd never seen anything like it. No, I don't know. What is a child?
I'm sorry.
Oh, as a teenager?
When she was on the show.
Somebody's been in Vancouver too many times. I don't know, actually, because they put her in a lot of sweaters. And because, as Tim noted, Tim believed that she was a portly child. and so they put her in a lot of sweaters. And so actually, and plus, as we noted, they were kept trying to make her the smart one and Justine Bateman the hot one. So who's to say? I mean, I'm not criticizing them. I mean, you know, people, I just spent 12 hours in a chair last Friday having my hair cosmetically worked on. So I don't have any problem with anybody doing anything. Have all the surgery one. That matter to me. I'm just saying she had a very, very nice body. She was very, and I know that sounds lechy and whatever, but she was, again, very attractive. So, but I didn't, I guess I just didn't even notice the husband. That's so great, though, that you can just walk up and go, you're a very good looking man. I mean, all right.
Strange.
All right, Tim Riley, somebody has now printed for us the Twilight Zone opening narration. Here, let me hand this to you here.
I wish we had the music.
Oh, that'd be nice. Scotty?
Scotty, this is not the opening narration to the Twilight Zone. This is the opening narration to a specific episode. This is to the Obsolete Man.
Oh, I like that episode.
That's a great episode. The Obsolete Man is fantastic. The Obsolete Man, which has Burgess Meredith in it, and also... Oh,
he was an incredible actor.
Burgess, why, Ellen? Why do you do these things? Burgess Meredith, who was on more episodes of The Twilight Zone than any other actor, by the way. He was in Time Enough at Last, he was in The Obsolete Man, he was in Mr. Dingle the Strong, he was in an episode called Mr. Beavis, I believe. All right, this is to The Obsolete Man. You want to...
Okay.
This is a Tim Riley as Rod... Tim Riley is Rod Serling.
You walk into this room at your own risk, but it leads to the future. Not a future that will be one that might be. This is not a new world. It is simply an extension of what began in the old one. It has patterned itself against every dictator who ever planted the ripping input of a boot on the pages of history since the beginning of time.
Yeah, I think we need the actual show intro.
I think we do.
Yeah, Tim, if you... Tim.
This is so frustrating that I can't play sound off of this computer anymore, because I could find that Twilight something in like 2 seconds.
That's true.
Well, that's another thing for the repair list, I guess.
Scotty, if you can find the actual intro. It's you unlock this door with the key of imagination. Look for that one, or the... There was a fifth dimension. A dimension not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey to a wondrous place whose boundaries are that of imagination. A signpost up ahead.
You do it better than I do.
Well, that's because I have no life, and I spent a long time watching. What are you looking up?
The opening.
The Twilight Zone. Okay. Oh, this is the actual opening narration?
Yeah, I just got it.
Fantastic. All right, you can print that out. All right. 503-733-2970. I'm going to have to, once we do, let's do another story while I continue to eat this Nutrisystem snack bar that the elders gave me.
Yeah. A man has been stabbed multiple times during the Rose Quarter Max platform in Northeast Portland. The 49-year-old victim was stabbed in the leg. He was transported to Emmanuel with non-life-threatening wounds. Appears that the victim was waiting for the train when he was suddenly stabbed just before 10 p.m.
This is what, on the Max?
Waiting for the Max.
So it's not just the Max itself that's dangerous. It's any
in the
point
Rose Quarter. Attention, everyone who's planning on going to see Al Gore on Tuesday.
Global warming may kill you, but not before some guy shivs you between the ribs with a screwdriver. Fantastic. All right, here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Girls beating girls. The mother of a 13-year-old attacked by a bully at her middle school says she wants other parents to realize their kids could be terrorizing others. Tammy Patterson says she wishes parents would talk to their kids and see if they're being bullied by others. Her daughter Jessica ended up in the hospital recently after another girl beat her up in middle school in Kelso. The eighth grader had received threats and harassing phone calls from several students for weeks. On the day of the attack, she tried to sneak into the school's back door but was jumped by a girl once inside, and she was slammed against a locker and punched by another girl.
Where is this happening? In the mean streets of Kelso?
The Kelso Middle School, the Huntington Middle School.
All right.
She hit me in the eye with her ring and took my hair and threw me up against the wall, said Jessica. The bullies threatened to hurt me more. She reported the incident. Well, I'm reporting it. They told me that they were going to get me twice as bad if I told. So it was really hard to tell on them, but let's see what's happening next.
You know, the weird thing is that all of these stories now sound like noir. They all, everything you read now sounds like it's written by Raymond Chandler. Let me, is this, K-Hay? Is it, what air check has you doing the Smooth Love Man? Is it 92.7 or K-Hay?
Let's see. No, it would have been Joy FM.
None of these air checks have you? Not Tim Spots.
No, not Tim.
Well, let's play this one. Because there was that one where you had to hold me, kiss me, think of me when we're apart.
That,
or whatever.
That's in the first series. They got lost.
All right. Well, let's. This is Tim.
No,
it's K-Hay for your country favorites.
Whoa.
One more payment, and it's mine. This is the moment we've been waiting for. Well, one of them anyway.
Well, no, see, but it still sounds kind of similar to what you're doing now. Now, are you on this air check? When is this? K-Hay?
91.
Now, are you artificial? Now, are you pushing your voice down?
No.
So this is it. Because it does, you do sound like you have a deeper voice here at K-Hay than you do naturally here. So
that's FM.
Is this processing, do you suppose?
Yeah.
We're going to give you a chance now to go on the air and do some jungle noises. We have with us now on the line, Babs Mint of Ojai. Hi, Babs.
Hi.
This
are you
awful.
Excited about this?
Yes, I am.
Now, if we like it, you get tickets for two to the Jungle Brunch Party at the Elephant Bar, Simi Valley, coming up on the 19th. Now, we want some jungle noises out of you, Babs. What was that again?
That was a giraffe.
Would you repeat that, please?
I hold you in contempt.
Oh, okay.
This is
sounds
awful.
Like a sick chihuahua.
You horrify me, Babs.
This is an awful giraffe. Bitch. I didn't know giraffe. Well,
take
I never
your own life.
Close to a giraffe. I suppose that's an acceptable giraffe. You got any other ones? We'll give you one more quick one. Ooh, that's a monkey, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, congratulations. You make a great monkey.
Trying to massage the nude monkey.
But this is for food, right?
Hey, you'll do anything for food, won't you,
Yeah,
Babs?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to give you a ticket for two to the Jungle Brunch Party.
Okay, you're being a jerk.
You are such a jerk.
Okay, first of all, you have to take this into context.
You can't quit eating, can you, Babs?
You can't stop shoving food in your face.
First of all, this isn't the Midwest. This is Southern California. And you really have to do things like this to remain on the air on a day-to-day basis.
You'll do anything for food, won't you, Babs? Jesus. Oh, that's fantastic.
Well, this is just one show and many, many.
Here's the thing. Is like, this is what I always say, that when you call a music station, the DJ hates
you.
The DJ hates you.
Party coming up Sunday, May 19th at the Elephant Bar, Simi Valley.
The Elephant Bar.
What's your favorite place to make a monkey of yourself, Ab?
See, if you go back and listen to these air checks of anybody, me, Tim, anyone, if you go back and listen to them all, operating under the, if you look at them all through the prism of the DJ hates the listeners,
you're all a bunch of fools, and we can't wait for you to call. We don't have to write anything down. We're just rolling tape.
That you, it all becomes so clear. It's like when you go back and you watch the Sixth Sense, knowing that, like, the second time, you go back and you watch it knowing that Bruce Willis is dead, and suddenly go, oh, it all makes sense. All the pieces of the puzzle are fitting together. That's what it is when you go back and you listen to one of these and you know the contempt for the audience. It's all brought into stark relief.
I didn't know that there were four different opens.
There were four different opens for the four different, because the Twilight Zone ran for five seasons.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing that thing again. I'm sorry. Just pick whichever one you like, and we'll have you...
61.
We need some kind of music.
Oh, we need the Twilight Zone theme, don't we?
Yes, we do.
All right, well, no, I can find that. Give me just a second. Right. In fact, I can probably... That...
We can talk amongst ourselves.
Yeah. That's, let's see. Hold on.
An overly friendly deer got too close for comfort at a recent middle school race where the animal licked one of the runners and chased him for 7 minutes. While onlookers gasped in disgust.
That's kind of cute.
Well, it's really another cute middle school story. Apparently, the deer... Oh, for the deer, a bond formed, an extremely strong bond. When Cox tried to leave the animal, the deer would have none of it.
What?
The deer chased Cox and was standing on... this is the bellow's last name.
I'm sorry. Hello, I am 12.
I'm trying to do a serious story here.
No, but the deer...
The seventh grader's name is Kevin Cox.
And so the deer was chasing what?
Cox. He was standing on his hind legs with his mouth on the back of the amused boy's head.
On the belt, with his mouth on the back of what?
Cox's head.
Okay, do you have the Twilight Zone thing?
I hope everyone in my family is listening today. Just to know what has become of me.
Okay. Are you?
I'm proud of where this journey of life has taken me.
Oh, we should call your prep school and just give them an update on where this particular journey in life has left you. Oh, let's call the Monsignor and thank him for all the guidance he gave you as a younger man, because it's all paid off.
I think my Monsignor is probably in jail by now.
All right, have you got the Twilight Zone thing?
I do, so we're going to do
one. Let me play the...
All right. You're traveling through another dimension. A dimension not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey in a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. There's a signpost up ahead. Next stop, the Twilight Zone.
That's pretty great.
Yeah.
That's pretty great.
I have three other ones here. Oh, I had extra time, didn't I? Oh, start it again.
Oh, I'm sorry. All right, hold on.
There is a fifth dimension, beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension of vastness, space, and timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition. And it lies between the pit of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination. It is in the area which we call the Twilight Zone.
Oh, and then this is the closing.
Yeah, this is the closing.
This is totally the closing. You know, where it says, like, written by Richard Matheson. The monsters are due on Maple Street. All right. Fantastic. Excellent. It's 503-733-2929, whatever. Hello. Who's this?
This is Michael.
Hi, Michael. How can I help you?
I had a little information on the deer attacking the child.
Do you now?
I had the picture.
I can't anticipate. I couldn't possibly have anticipated that.
Now, on NPR last night, they had the story, and they interviewed the seventh grader.
Uh-huh.
And then the, it was ridiculous. But on top of that, if you go to NPR, their website, they actually have the whole series of pictures. There's like eight of them, licking him, jumping on him, then running after him, attacking him again. It's pretty good.
And the deer's attacking and licking what?
The child.
Tim?
Cox. Kevin Cox.
I just wanted to play
that. I want to know why the deer had a strange attachment to Cox.
Allegedly, they were petting it. It was a friendly deer, and then it started licking him because he wanted the salt off of his skin.
Oh!
That's why dogs do that.
Okay, well, no, it's true. But, I mean, here's the thing about that is, this is the problem. Did you have that story the other day about the elderly couple that died? And then it was that thing where, like, the dog's salt lick ran out, and so the dog just began licking, like, the dead people. And then the next thing you know,
it's like, yeah.
And then they find him, like, 3 or 4 weeks later. Yeah, and it's like all the way down. And so that's, this photo is hilarious, by the way. This is literally a photo of this child being chased by this deer. This is the wild deer seen chasing the middle-aged
boy. I bet Tim has it on his website.
No, I just learned of this today.
Ah.
Photographs do indeed show the deer chasing Cox. Standing on its hind legs with its mouth on the back of Cox's head. Okay. We should break here. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. It's 503-733-2970. This is pretty much the best show ever. Thank you, Michael. There you go. Back after this. Won't go anywhere. It's 503-2970. Coming up at 2 o'clock, by the way. Scott Daly will be here with Aaron Geek in the City, who I believe is unbelievably hungover this morning. And I'll go through my notes that I made at the strip club last night. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. Take him on 970 Solid State Radio.